You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are continuing our discussion on player tiers and how it relates to this NBA draft. How many superstars are in the 2022 draft? Let's go!
Six. Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
Curry for three. Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Joined once again by the great Callum Mack. How are you, man?
The great Callum Mack. I can get used to that. Yeah, I'm well. How are you, Mitchy?
I'm doing really well, mate. Today, obviously, we're continuing sort of, you could almost say this is a part two of our NBA players tier discussion, but relating it back a bit more to the draft and the younger players coming up into the NBA at the moment. So if you haven't already, I would definitely encourage that before you listen to this podcast, go back to our previous podcast where we're talking about NBA player tiers. To give you guys a quick reminder, we went through our tier one, which was our MVP level caliber players, our tier two, which was our Batman's best player on a championship team, tier three, which was our Robins, so the second best player on a championship team. We skipped tier four because we're going to talk about that today. And then we went also on to talk about our tier five, which was the good stats, bad team, or, you know, your third option on a good championship level contending team. Today, we're talking about the young guys, the I got next tier, the tier four guys. And we're also blending in a bit of the NBA draft, guys. So before we get into those guys, anything you wanted to tie a knot on that previous podcast you wanted to add in, or anything else you want to say in general before we get onto these specific players, Cal?
I'll say just go check it out before you listen to this one for sure. You get a lot of context. We pretty much went through the whole 50 players really in the league, these guys included who we're going to mention next. But personally, when I'm looking at this rank here that we're going to get into, we'll discuss where we think they might land. If they could get up to that tier one, into that MVP discussion, whether or not we could, they could win a championship, or if we think that, you know, maybe that is more of a Robin or something like that.
Yeah, I think it all comes back to team building and how to build a championship level team. And you've got to really identify what do you have in a player, what could they potentially be, and then also what is the percentage likelihood that they turn into that, you know? You might have a player that has, you know, a 1% chance to be an MVP level player. Like, I'm sure no one sort of would have said that Nikola Jokic was going to likely be that. but, you know, there was that 1% chance and it hit. You know, Giannis might have been a similar kind of thing. We all saw the potential with, you know, his body and, you know, his talents. But, you know, at the time, the percentage probably wasn't very high that he was going to hit it. But sometimes it does happen. Sometimes, you know, the stars align and it all works out for a player. So there is that reasoning. So let's move on to, okay, so tier four. We won't go through the draft guys just yet. We'll talk about the guys who are already in the NBA. But tier four, I'll go through some names. And then, Callum, you let me know if you've got anyone else or if you disagree with any of the guys that I've got here. So the I got next tier, I've got Zion Williamson, Anthony Edwards, Cade Cunningham, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Evan Mobley. I've got Scotty Barnes, Jalen Green, and LaMelo Ball in my I got next tier. Do you have anyone else, or do you disagree or want to boot anyone else off this tier?
I've thrown three more guys I want to add to the list here.
Okay, hit me.
Darius Garland.
Yep.
I think we should throw in the mix. DeAndre Ayton. I think being 23, let's not overlook him and think that, you know, there's potential there as well.
Okay.
And then also Tyrese Halliburton. We did mention him in that kind of previous pod, but I think he does fit into this category as well for me personally.
Okay, fair enough. I think I don't mind two of them. I am going to disagree with the DeAndre Ayton pick. I think I don't know if I see upside in him getting above this. I think his ceiling is third best player on a great team. I don't know if I see him elevating into that Robin, like second best player on a championship level team status, which I guess is kind of what this tier and why it's tier four and not, you know, and tier five isn't tier four and tier four isn't tier five, because I think all of the other players have the potential on being that Robin guy, that second best player on a championship team. Whereas I don't know if I see that with Ayton. I don't know if I see it with Halliburton either. Garland, you could definitely talk me into. I don't know if I see it with Halliburton. Maybe on like a, if you really value his playmaking and his like pace setting, you could talk me into it. But I probably see him more as like a third best option on a championship team. What are your reasons for having those guys in there in particular, Ayton?
So just to clarify, when you're looking at this, you're really just making a list of people you think would be what it sounds like to be in tier one or tier two.
Yeah, I'm looking at guys who can be the one, the option A or option B of my franchise. If I'm trying to win a championship, yep, these are like the two. Because really, we want two level guys, unless you've got a Giannis or, you know, someone who's like the best player in the NBA. You typically need two guys in your team to kind of reach that championship level team.
Well, yeah, like a Tatum and a Jaylen Brown.
Exactly, yeah.
Example.
Yeah,
well, what we're seeing in the finals.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler and a Bam Adebayo, you know, a Devin Booker and a Chris Paul. You know, those kind of players that elevate your team to that level.
I think Ayton, he can defend in the perimeter. He's a big guy in this day and age, is your perfect big man, can hit kind of your mid-range. Doesn't stretch it to the three-point line yet. But look, as I mentioned before, he's 23 years old. I still think he could. He's got some upside to make it into kind of like your 1B, that being kind of like your Robin per se. I don't think he's going to be the best player on a championship team. I don't think he has that ceiling. But I do think he's in the discussion for being kind of like that second best piece.
Okay, who do you think is able to, like, okay, first of all, do you see any of these guys reaching tier one? So the MVP level talents. Do you see anyone reaching that level?
I think there's probably four on my list out of these guys.
Okay, I have three.
My four would be Zion Williamson.
Yep.
If that man's healthy, he's easily,
yes, I agree,
an MVP. I think I mean he shot like 60% from the field with like 26 points. I think in a playoff situation he's just unguardable.
He's a tough matchup for any team.
Exactly. So from a matchup point of view, I don't know who you throw at him. I think he's easily, if healthy, in that discussion.
I agree.
I think Anthony Edwards also has that ceiling.
I agree.
He just needs to get that basketball IQ, learn the game a bit more on this level, but the physical traits are there. If he becomes a bit more consistent, I think he's 100% there. I think the defense is taking big steps up in his second season. I think that's something to look into as well moving forward. If he just becomes that defensive wing stopper, that really could elevate a team single-handedly as well. Next, look, I had Mobley just from the Rook. I do believe in him, what he had brought on the defensive end this season, while also just really being able to shoot from anywhere. I think his ceiling is as high as anyone's, especially on both ends of the court, and being that defensive anchor, being a guy that can kind of shoot on top of people. And then lastly, I'll throw Cade Cunningham in the mix as well.
Yep.
I'm not as confident, probably there just because of his slow start, but I think there were some signs, and that really is more of a gamble on a smaller sample size. The other guys in this list, we've seen obviously a bigger sample size and we're a bit more educated on it.
Yeah.
Cade may fall out of that, for me. Maybe he's going to be more of a Robin to someone's, you know, Batman or MVP kind of caliber.
I've got three of those four. The one I play I don't have quite there is Evan Mobley. I think I do have Cade. It's funny because obviously we talked about, like, you know, some of these players have, like, you know, a small percentage to make it. I think I've got Cade has going to, I think Cade Cunningham has got maybe like a, I don't know, a 30% chance to be in a tier one, but he's also maybe got like a 50% chance to be in tier three. Do you know what I mean? I think he's either going to be right up there or he's going to be the number two guy. Whereas I think Evan Mobley, like, I could almost put like a 60% chance that he'll be a tier two. I think he's going to be someone who's going to be just really, really good. He's going to be, like we said before in the previous podcast, he'll be like the best defender on that team, but maybe the second best offensive option. So in terms of total value to the team, he probably will be the most valuable to player on a championship level team. But it's just the fact that I don't know if I can give him the ball and say, okay, go for it, man. That elevates him to that MVP level, which I feel like everyone in that MVP kind of tier one has. And also the fact that most of them have a level of playmaking as well. So I think those, like, chess players, the players that orchestrate the court, you like your LeBrons, even like a Giannis, a Jokic, Luka, Steph, all these guys, Kevin Durant to a certain extent, even players like Kawhi and Embiid do that in their own way, in terms of creating the pace and controlling the pace of the game. I don't know if Evan Mobley's going to be able to do that. He's kind of like that Anthony Davis kind of type where it might not be able to just take his team and just will them into the championship. Whereas I think he's going to have someone else there, at least on the offensive side of the court, to sort of help him out, which is why I have him down. But I'm with you, man. Zion, if he can get healthy, man, like, I know we've only seen like 1.5 seasons of him, but it's enough. It's enough for us to see. We recognize there's a reason, like, I still back New Orleans' decision to take him over Ja Morant. I know some people might, obviously, hindsight is great, and if he ends up not being healthy throughout his career, sure, you could say that Ja Morant was the better pick, but take the swing, man. This guy's talent is through the roof, and his, like, just uniqueness is crazy. And I was an Anthony Edwards skeptic going into the draft as well. I think I had him maybe second or third or something like that. I had LaMelo Ball clearly number one that year, I remember, which doesn't look stupid, but I think that Anthony Edwards probably does have the highest ceiling with what we've seen so far in his career. So I would agree with those sort of players. Do you think everyone else has a chance to be... is there any player that you don't think has a chance to be a tier two, like a tier one or a tier two?
Not to be a tier two.
See, I don't necessarily see LaMelo Ball being a tier two. I see him as like a Robin Max. I sort of see a Scotty Barnes being a Robin Max, but I'm pretty confident he can be a Robin. Jalen Green's an interesting one to me. I think he's got a wide range of outcomes. I think he can be... He's the kind of guy that has like a 5% chance to be a tier one. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's got like a low percentage chance to be right up there, but he's got it. Whereas someone like a Scotty Barnes, I feel like he's got like a 0% chance or maybe a 1% chance to be a tier one, but he's got like a 50 or 60% chance to be a tier three. Like, I think he's going to be really good. But maybe Jalen Green still has a higher ceiling. What would you think comparing those two guys?
I think the two guys I'm least confident in with your list would be Scotty Barnes and Jalen Green.
Yeah, okay.
I think the rest have got a pretty good sample size. They're rookies as well, so I think that's probably why I'm a bit more hesitant.
Yeah.
Scotty Barnes is on a pretty deep roster out in Toronto. He's a hustler. He knows a lot of things, but I still think there are some gaps in his game and he needs to become a bit more consistent three-point. I feel like even though he can pass, he passed at in his college days. We didn't see a whole lot of that on the NBA level. There was some flashes, but I guess you could argue that's flashes for the future.
Yeah.
You could say that he could actually start running a team, noting that he did play a bit of point guard in college. But yeah. Look, I'm not too sure. I just think the offense isn't quite there for him there in terms of an offensive ceiling. So yeah. I would have him probably maxing out as a Robin for me personally. I don't see him at all getting into that top level. Jalen Green, that can go either way. That's probably the biggest low floor, high ceiling pick of this whole group, just given he really did actually turn on his scoring towards the end of the season, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
He ended up averaging 17 points for the entirety of the season. And that's coming off some pretty bad, similar to Cade coming in. They came out of the gate shooting pretty poorly and just had a few explosions here and there, but did become more consistent towards the end. So I think that is at least a good sign. And he does have the athleticism and size and being about 6'6 to be a reasonable defender. So I think he does have the Anthony Edwards. In terms of a comparison, he does have that kind of layout. But Anthony Edwards is obviously a thicker build. I think he can guard more players sort of how big and solid he is. And the athleticism for him mixed with the size is a bit different to someone like a Jalen Green, who's a bit more of the athleticism, a bit more flashy on that end.
Yeah, I agree. I was when you were saying how we obviously turned it on towards the end of the season, it very much mirrored the first rookie season of Anthony Edwards. But I think Anthony Edwards was more sort of like after the All-Star break or second half of the season, whereas Jalen Green was kind of just like the last month or two. Like it wasn't as long or as big of a sample size, but definitely had that same kind of feel of it where he kind of just figured it out as the season went on. And similar to Anthony Edwards, I was a little bit skeptical with Jalen Green going into the draft. Again, I think I still had him like 3 or 4, but he was always the kind of player that I flagged as like, oh, this guy could go. He could go either way. He could be like a good stats, bad team kind of player and always just be like a chucker and not have too much else to his game. But there have been those signs, like you said. Last guy we haven't touched on in this tier is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's a bit different to some of these other guys. Maybe one of the, a bit, I think, probably the oldest of this group without actually fact-checking myself. But he's definitely been in the league the longest. What are your thoughts on Shai? Where do you think he can get to in the heights of the NBA rankings? Do you think he has a chance to be a tier one or two?
If you're an advanced guy, I think you would say yes. I think the advanced stats really do back him. It's just he's been playing for such a scrub team, so it's really hard to really say if he is up there. I personally think he's destined for more of a Robin role. I think he should be a number two.
I agree. This is where, and I'm going to, this is an amazing segue. This is where I'm really excited for if OKC can draft someone like a Chet Holmgren. This is why I think that this would be a match made in heaven, because I can see Chet being the tier two player, probably not a tier one. And to give my overall thoughts, I don't think there's a tier one player in this draft. And I think that sometimes we hope that there's a tier one in every draft. We kind of think and we think, oh, I'm drafting at number one. I want a superstar. I want a player that's going to carry my franchise. But the reality is we've highlighted 8 players in the NBA, and that's like 8 players, you know, with multiple years. And obviously all those guys have been in the league for many years, Luka probably being the youngest. You know, not every draft has a tier one player. Not every draft has a tier two player. In fact, most drafts don't have either. So it's challenging for us to kind of check our expectations and think, okay, more than likely, one of these top 3 or 4 players is going to be a bust. You know, maybe one of these guys is an all-NBA player. And to me, that's why I have Chet as my number one player, because I think he's the most likely to be that. Not to say that I think he's going to be the type where, you give him the ball and he goes and scores, but I think he can be a tier two where he's the most valuable player on a championship team because, one, he brings that defense. He can be maybe the second or third option on offense. And if you pair him with someone like a Shai, who's maybe not a tier one you know, in totality, but he might be their leading scorer. So he's like the Robin, but he might be your team's leading scorer, if that makes sense. So that's why when I look at drafting a player, I'm taking into account what I've got on my roster already and what I want or expect that player to be, which is why I find it so hard for Orlando, because they don't have anyone. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have anyone who's a tier 1, 2, 3, or 5. Like they've got nothing. They're a blank canvas. And when you don't see a tier 1 in this draft, like, what do you do? Do you just draft a player you think's going to be decent and has the lowest chance of busting? Or do you take that real big swing and, you know, if a player has a 2% chance to be a tier 1 or 2, do you go for that? What are your thoughts on all those sort of things that I've just spoken about?
I'll just go through and point out how hard it can be just to get that tier one guy. So when you go into every draft, that I guess can be your consensus number one pick. If we go back 10 years and run through them, 2012 was Anthony Davis.
Yep.
I think you could argue a few years into his career, especially when he beat Damian Lillard when he was the sixth seed and went to the second round.
We thought he was himself, a tier one.
You would argue he was a tier one. Some people were saying, you know, top five in the league.
Yep.
When he won the championship with LeBron, he was arguably the defensive player of the year. I think Giannis won it that year, but he was right there in terms of that. So I think that's the level up. After that, look, 2013, Anthony Bennett, bust.
Bust.
2014, Andrew Wiggins. He's doing great as a third option right now. He was the number one draft pick.
But tier then five you have Carl
Anthony
best.
Towns.
Yeah.
Exactly. After that, Carl Anthony Towns in 2015.
Not he, tier
we
one
had
or two.
Him in the Robin. And he's, look, I guess you could argue after this, the guys still are young. But look, I think we're pretty confident he's not going to be that
so.
MVP caliber player. 2016, Ben Simmons. He's then it's a bit of a disaster. Can't shoot, still doesn't shoot
six
years later.
Probably.
2017, Markelle Fultz, bust.
Tatum was in that draft. Let's do point that out.
That's true. Like, and if we're talking like more your top, let's say top five picks, obviously there's a bit more options, but it is hard to really swing and get these guys every time. DeAndre Ayton in 2018, who we've already touched on.
Yeah.
2019, Zion Williamson, most hype
Jury's
in the
out.
NBA draft, outside of LeBron James, really. And then your Anthony Edwards and Kay Cunningham, who land themselves in this tier, and I think rightfully so. So there's no real guarantee if someone will get up there. And if we're looking at, you know, the guys on the board right now, I do agree with you with the fact that I don't think there is a tier one MVP caliber player. If I put my money in, I wouldn't say so. I think there's some great, probably Robbins is probably the best bet that I do for this draft class. The only guy I think that would have the MVP potential would be someone just purely on, I guess, the mystery and not really knowing.
I thought you would go here. And I was actually kind of thinking of it myself. Go on, say the name.
Jaden Ivey? No. Like, it's got to be Sharp, right?
Yeah.
I think Sharp, just with the mystery and the hype. I think he's got the tools. He probably would be. So if someone does want us to take a swing, maybe you'd just take him.
Yeah. If you had
have
to
I talked you into taking Jaden Sharp number one pick?
Oh, no. I'm not taking him number one, but I understand the theory of the mystery box, right? Like, he could be anything. He could be that guy. He could be that championship level, like, number one player. Like, we just don't know. We've got no stats on him. We've got limited film. You know, we don't have the confidence, right? So in saying that, it's like I don't know. It's even hard to put a percentage on it. Like, maybe he's like a 5% chance at being a tier one or two. Do you know what I mean? Maybe he's a 20% chance of being a tier three. Maybe he's a 40% chance of being a tier five. And then he's like a 30% chance of not even being a starter. You know what I mean? Like, there's an element of risk that he's going to completely bust. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I don't see a world where a Jabari Smith isn't at least a tier three. Do you know what I mean? I think he's at least a third option on a championship level team. Like, I think there's only a 5% chance that he's not at least that. So that's why there's a lot of talk with him being number one or two pick. Me personally, I think that Chet is in a similar vein with a higher upside than someone like a Jabari. I don't think there's a world. unless his body completely gives out on him and he picks up a lot of injuries. But even saying that, like, that's hard to predict, you know? It's hard to predict injuries, man. I know we're getting better at that, and, like, injuries were highlighted and flagged with someone like a Zion, and that's proved to be, at least to this stage. I mean, Zion could turn around and be healthy for the rest of his career. We don't know. You know, like, these kind of things can be flagged, but I'm still confident that I think that he's probably a safe pick. I would say, however, the player that I think probably has the highest percentage chance of being a tier one might be a Paolo Banchero. As much as I don't think
I agree with that as well, actually. I think just the scoring prowess that he's kind of shown, the size of his body, like he's like 6'10 and just solid. He's just going to get into the NBA, and I don't really see him skipping a beat whatsoever. I think he'll really just fit in, have a bit of extra space to work with. And he's just got the IQ, I think, as well. Watching a bit more of his tape, he'll pass it, run, cut, pass, and just make the right moves. I think he does fit in with a lot of teams. The only knock is that defensive end. And I think even for someone 6'10", it's not like you can...
Yeah, pick on him, like, really.
I guess some guards could really just try and blow by him, but outside of that, he's a big body that you can't really take a whole lot of advantage of.
Yeah, and I think that like those are things that he could definitely improve. Like, he could say he gets his jump shot to something that's a really respectable level, and he improves his, you know, fluidity in his movement. Like, we see a little bit more athleticism and explosiveness from him, and his defense elevates to a point where he actually gives a shit every night. And like, you know, say someone like an Andrew Wiggins, like, if he can get himself to like that kind of level of defender, which I think is totally in the realms of possibility, then yeah, you maybe have a tier one or two guy. I'm less confident on that being the case, and I see him more as maybe like, I think the most likely scenario for me with him is a tier 3 or 5, like a second or third best player on a championship level team. Whereas I think I'm more confident that Chet will be a tier 2 or 3. But in saying that, that's why there's a lot of different philosophies and why different people might have him above others. And I can't really argue against it if that's what you believe. I just happen to believe something differently when I look at the way he plays and what I value. So I guess that's just a background into sort of what we're looking at when we're thinking about who to draft and for different situations. And that's why I think there's definitely credit to him being picked by the Orlando Magic, because like we said before, they've got nothing. They've got a whole bunch of tier 6s and 7s, you know, like just a whole bunch of role players. You know, maybe your Franz Wagner can be a tier 5 and the third best player on a championship team. Maybe Jalen Suggs could be that. But I don't see any Batmans or Robins yet on this team. They still need to get those guys.
Yep. I totally agree. I'll touch on, I think the ceiling of Chet might be up there as well to some players. I'm not completely sold. But we've always kind of said, you know, I've said a Pau Gasol is a good reference, someone that hustles on defense and can score. And he was like a perfect kind of Robin to Kobe's, obviously, MVP caliber Batman kind of standard, right?
Yeah, I've said a second half of a Tim Duncan's career, which I know is lofty standards, but that kind of archetype of the best defensive player and the second or third best offensive player on a team. And I think whilst that's some big expectations to put on a young man, that's sort of what I would hope to him to reach. But let us know what your thoughts are, guys, and who do you think, are there any tier one players in your eyes in this draft? Do you think that Chet is going to be a bust? Or let us know in the comments below. Give us your thoughts about it, your drafting philosophies and what you would do if you were at the top of the draft. Like the video, hit the comments, make sure you subscribe. We'll catch you guys next time. Laters.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.